Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole Sachs, and this is my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. I am fresh off a real-time heal therapy session. In fact, we just got off the call and I'm deciding to record this intro right away because my energy is so full of love and warmth for this beautiful human, Shannon. Shannon, you know who you are. That was freaking awesome, that conversation. So I'm just getting right on this intro to talk about it because, you know, listen, I say this all the time. I feel like a broken record. I feel like the instrument that plays one note, but these real-time heals give me something that I never thought I could get from doing a podcast, which is such a feeling of connection and hope and nourishment for my soul, doing this work day in and day out. I really don't take a break. I kind of work 7 days a week in some way or another. And to just connect with another human being that is so authentic and just seated in herself and brave. You guys, this real-time heal shit is brave. Out there being you in with all your rawness in a podcast that is going to go across the world. It's really great. And I have incredible respect and gratitude for every one of you guys that has come on and will in the future. And Shannon is certainly no exception. So awesome, awesome conversation you're about to witness. Really great. So there's that. This podcast is airing on Friday, which is January 29th, 2021. And you have one day. If you would like to sign up for my Intro to Mind Body Medicine seminar, it's a course that's going to happen on January 30th. There is a cap on it, so there's a chance by the time this airs, it will be sold out. But if you're interested in diving deeper into my work, doing a live Q&A with me, and learning how to go deeper into your journal speak practice, sort of similar to what I do today with Shannon, but in a way that might speak to you more personally. I'm going to be doing that on January 30th from 12 to 1:30 Eastern time in the afternoon, and it will be recorded. So if you're listening to this from Asia or Australia on the other side of the planet from where I'm sitting, you will be able, with a paid ticket, to get a recording that you can keep forever. So just so you know about that. And also, if you're interested in learning more about my work, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. I have a new online shop where I'm selling the beautiful graphics that I post every day on Instagram in different categories, some about relationships, some about self-love, some about healing pain, and they're wallpapers that you can buy and keep on your phone for constant reminders. So that's pretty exciting to me. That just dropped today, as I'm recording this podcast several days before it airs. So, and if you just want to learn about any of my work, the resources tab can teach you everything you need to know. Everything I have, free and paid, is all there. And I am also busy preparing for my retreat in May, my virtual retreat, which is going to be May 21st through the 23rd, a whole weekend together, really getting real. Like down to it with each other and my Omega guest instructors. And it's just all so exciting. I get really excited to do the work when I actually get to sit with someone doing the work. And that's why I'm kind of so amped up today with Shannon. All right, guys. So Real Time Heal is unscripted completely. I know nothing about this person except for a 3-paragraph email and what I've learned on this phone call. And we just do it. We go right into it. It's exactly how it is when I used to be in private practice, which is we are going to talk about what's going on. We are going to hide from nothing. And we are going to invite some healing to rise, which we certainly did today. So for all of you guys out there, I hope that this day, this pandemic, this time of your life is manageable as it can be. I send you love and light and connection, and I hope in some way connecting with Shannon can ease your own journey. All right, without further ado, I give you my real-time heal with Shannon. Hi, everybody. So welcome to another episode of Real Time Heal. I'm here with Shannon. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so very welcome. I loved the energy of your letter.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I tried to put it in there.
Well, because, you know, I mean, listen, I think that, like I say all the time, I get tons and tons of letters, but sometimes someone's energy just shines through so authentically, and I'm like, I want to meet this girl. So here we are.
Thank you so much. I'm just so excited.
So as you know, with Real Time Heal, we are here together in a real-time therapy session. I have no idea about anything about you, so I am excited for you to educate me. So take it away and start where you're at.
Okay, great. So, hi, everybody, and Nicole. My name is Shannon. I come to you today asking for help with a condition called plaque psoriasis, which is an autoimmune condition, and it's not uncommon. I think a lot of people have it, but I have had it since, gosh, my early teens, like maybe 13 or 14, which is not super common. And I haven't been really, I've never been able to shake it. And I've tried everything that the medical model can offer me, like pills and elimination diets and steroids and light therapy. And there's just really no, air quotes, cure. So that's what I'm asking for help with today. But, as I've done this work, I've really realized that I've had TMS since infancy. I think I came out with it.
Me too.
When I was little, I would have horrible earaches and horrible strep throat, like all the time, many, many times a year. I was diagnosed with something called patellofemoral syndrome when I was super little. And all that meant was I was having knee aches that nobody could understand or explain. And the doctor at the time said that it happens for shorter ladies. I'm super short. And he said, when your knees and your hips don't align, you can have this thing called patellofemoral syndrome, and it causes excruciating pain. So he didn't have any help with that. He just kind of gave me a diagnosis, and I would just, you know, kind of suffer through it as a little one. I had horrible headaches my whole life. I was never diagnosed with migraines. They were more like cluster headaches, but I would have them for days at a time. And I just tried to kind of soldier on and do my thing and go to school and do everything I was supposed to do. But I was just kind of always physically uncomfortable from as long as I can remember. And I know now that it's TMS. There's no two ways about it. I'm totally convinced. So when I was first diagnosed with psoriasis, it was just localized to my scalp, and it's just uncomfortable. It's itchy. It's kind of burning and itchy, and, you know, the flakes are gross, so you flake everywhere. So that's where it started. The doctor gave me some topical steroids for that, which, like, taking that as a 14-year-old is kind of a bummer, you know, because it you have to put it on your scalp and it makes your hair greasy. And,
yeah,
you know, nobody likes that when they're in high school. And it just, as I've gotten older, it's gotten much more severe. It started out as a mild case, and now the doctors classify it as mild to moderate. Or no, I'm sorry, it's moderate to severe now. But, you know, that's basically a bullshit diagnosis because they can't really do anything about it. And to me, it's just kind of an uncomfortable but also mortifying condition because, you know, sometimes you're able to hide a headache or you're able to hide a knee ache, but there's no hiding this. You know, I have it all over my body. And some things helped in the beginning, like the light therapy helped a little bit in the beginning, but now it just, it's all over. And, it's gotten much better since I've started to do the journal speak. And that's been the only thing that's shown me any improvement in a long, long time. So anyway, that's kind of my deal. I have seen significant improvement in my skin and, of course, just in my health and wellness overall since I started doing this. But I do sort of feel like I've plateaued a little bit in my journal speak. And I still have psoriasis. It's gotten much, much better. The spots, I call them, you know, the scales have shrunk a huge amount. And I don't have as many all over my body, but it's still there. And so if you could help me with that, I would really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations on the hard work you've done, because obviously this is big. You've really come a long way already.
Well, thanks.
I mean, it's not nothing, you know, especially considering how hard it is to swallow after a lifetime of being medicalized, that you could do this work and actually affect the change in your skin and you see it working. So just know that we're going to do work today and I'm going to help you. But, you know, the most annoying thing ever to ever be told, which is you're doing it and you're doing everything right. And it's pretty much just more doing it. But let's get underneath some of the stuff. So
okay.
The first thing I want to talk about is, obviously, we are all a combination of nature and nurture. We are born into this world with a certain nature, and it is a fortunate/unfortunate situation. Most of the things I've ever found in myself and in people I've worked with or known that is their albatross, that is their Achilles heel, is also one of the reasons that they are a wonderful person. You know, sensitivity, empathy, connection, wanting others, you know, to love them and like them and wanting good results for others, codependency. All of these things can be actually very lovely personality traits in being a connected human being. Mm-hmm. So I guess my first question is, tell me a little bit about your nature, because the fact that you have lifelong TMS means this isn't just about what happened to you. This is about what you are.
Big time. Oh my gosh. My personality list is super duper long because I'm just kind of the boring, perfect archetype for this. But yeah, I'm a huge people pleaser. That's probably the biggest monkey on my back. If other people are not okay, I immediately know, and I try really hard to fix it, but I'm also trying to fix that about myself. So I'm a huge people pleaser. I've always wanted to be, you know, a really good girl, kind of a pleasure to be around and, kind of a fixer. I've always been really super duper sensitive and empathetic. Like, my mom told me that when I was in kindergarten, the first day I spent the whole time outside like counseling the other little kids who were crying, and I was kind of patting their head saying like, oh, don't cry, it's okay, which is kind of embarrassing, but it's just, I never grew out of that. I really identify with that kind of caregiver role deep down.
So, okay. So here we find ourselves, right? The most essential parts of us, which we cannot escape, cause a lot of things to happen, cause us to be a good friend, cause us to be a good partner or a loved one, cause us to make a positive impact in the world. I mean, if we're just going to take this day in particular, cause a person like me to read a letter like yours and say, aw, I want to know her. And I'm sure, honey, that part of you is one of the reasons you have TMS. So yeah. It's the irony of life. And it's actually, to me, quite beautiful, because if we can stop trying to vilify it, if we can stop giving it sort of that negative connotation and pair it with anxiety and bring in a whole lot of acceptance for the fact that you are this way, you can work on things about it that aren't serving you, but you will always be this way, because that's the whole point of the word nature. It's your essence. It's the way you're like a tree. That's why we call the tree nature, because it is something that cannot be altered, because the very state of it is what it is. And embracing those sides of ourself can be so helpful. So that was the first question I had for you, because I'm like, this kid was definitely carrying something from, you know, the great beyond that that you're like this. So, okay. So that's the first question I have. The second question I have is, give me an idea of the emotional world of your childhood. So how did your parents meet with this nature that you brought, and how was your experience of growing up? Because there is a, and there definitely is some significance to the fact that your problem that you're carrying today in your mid 30s is a problem that began in adolescence, which is arguably the hardest time of life. So kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. This is something that I've had to look at really, really deeply, because when I first was introduced to your work and I was listening to the podcasts and I, you know, read your book, I devoured your book, and all the podcast lessons, and I took your course, something that really stuck out to me was kind of this feeling of unworthiness. Like, well, I had a happy childhood with an amazing family and parents I adore. But then, you know, as I listened to more episodes, I realized that even if you have a feeling of not really belonging, that can cause problems. And so I think that's where it stemmed for me. My parents are so kind and smart and wise and did everything they could for me. But I did always have this kind of feeling that I wasn't a part of the group. Like, my family has a lot of really kind of incredible people on it, on both sides, like very kind of fancy sounding people, like lots of doctors and lawyers and people who have high levels of education, and they're funny and they're musicians and they're writers. And I kind of just felt like I couldn't live up to that. I just felt so ordinary. And so I think that's where a lot of my heartache comes from, feeling like, why was I picked to be in this litter? You know, like, I'm not a musician, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a doctor, I don't think I could get through that school, I'm not smart enough, you know, all those things. So my parents did the best they could to tell me I was just wrong, you know, like,
right,
you are special and we love you no matter what. But there's always been a little part of me that's been like, I just don't believe you on a certain level. Like, I feel like I need to prove myself in order to be worthy enough to be part of that pack, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So that invites in a lot of what you're going to walk away from this podcast using to heal. So let's really take this kind of slowly. Okay. So here's the thing. Our perception is our reality. Now, some people walk through this life and their perception doesn't need to be very creative. They're being beaten. They're being abused and molested. They're being neglected, and they don't have food, and they're in war zones. Like, there is enough of life that is presented to some of us where your perception is right there. You don't need to be too creative about it. It's very obvious. However, I never want to discount those of us who are in a situation that doesn't overtly present a lot of adversity. And so what happens is the natural human tendency to seek to protect itself by looking over the landscape and making sure we're safe, because that is what your most primitive brain and nervous system are doing at all times. They're scanning the landscape over and over again to say, where might Shannon be in danger? And what's interesting about human beings, and I wish I knew the why of this, but nobody does, is that oftentimes people in situations where your perception of danger is not overt, meaning abuse, neglect, war, you start to scan the landscape and find reasons that you might not be safe. And I, you know, like I said, I wish I could figure out how to stop doing this. I wish I could figure it out for myself. It would be really freaking nice, but that's the truth. And so let's go back to that kid and realize that for whatever reason, you made those stories true for you. Maybe it was because you were terrified that you wouldn't be enough, so you had to figure out a reason that you weren't. You know, there's there's lots of reasons that could happen, but I think that's a very significant part of your story, because that kid felt alone. You know, it all things bring us to the core struggles of being human. Grief, loneliness and aloneness, anger and rage, terror and fear. You know, these are our basic building blocks of an emotional world. And it sounds like you felt very alone because you couldn't figure out why you didn't fit in. And it was all mental, right? You did actually fit in according to the surroundings that you could see, which sometimes makes us feel more alone, ironically, because you're not being validated.
Right. Yeah, that resonates big time for me.
Yeah. And so, okay. All right. So I do understand that. Now tell me what did happen. So now I know that your parents were loving and tried their best and you legitimately feel that they did and that you had this story that you were carrying with you, which is a heavy bag of rocks that you were dragging with you. Yeah. What actually did happen? You know, what's your life look like? You know, relationships, family, where are you at today?
Yeah. Well, I'm engaged. I live with my fiance right now. I have a job that I really, really love, but it took a long time to find it and to get qualified for it. So, when I first graduated college, I was doing something completely different and I was so unhappy. It just didn't feel right to me, but I'm such a like comfort creature. I'll do anything to feel comfortable and cozy and safe. And so I stayed in this job that just did not work for me for way too long. But eventually I went back to school, and that was 2 years ago. So I graduated again, and now I'm working in a field that I really, really love so much. So I have a job, I have a fiance, I have friends, but I definitely do feel like an outsider still, even in my own life. Like, I'm a speech pathology assistant for little kids. Most of them are little kids. And so during the day when I'm working, I have to really perform and I feel a lot like Mary Poppins. You know, there's no excuse to come cranky or in a bad mood or put your bad energy on a little kid. You know, I would never, ever do that. So I try really hard to make every session really special and really fun. But then after my day is over, I'm so tired and I just feel so mean and cranky. And I'm so aware of the two sides of me. And day to day, it's hard for me to marry the two, I feel like.
Okay. All right. I understand that deeply because although I don't work with young children anymore, I used to, but I have a house full of them. And yeah. I'm going to just give you a little, don't tell anybody I'm telling you this kind of thing. You don't have to feel the way you show up. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to find a little bit of a balance there because I get what you're saying. If you hold something together and try to do it so genuinely for an entire day, then you're going to have shame about feeling depleted and angry and almost like, I don't know. You can tell me. I mean, what does it feel like at the end of the day to feel like what's left for you and your fiance is only the crap?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have so much guilt and shame over that. But I just kind of feel like a battery with no juice left in it anymore at the end of every day. And not because I don't love my job, because I really do. And I've worked in other fields that felt worse, you know, just in different ways. So it feels sad. And I feel like my fiance is missing out on maybe the best parts of me that I have to kind of give away during the day.
Yes. Okay. So I want to talk about some bigger stuff rather than the day-to-day stuff. But before I do want to tell you this, just sort of like sometimes there's the deeper work and sometimes there's shortcuts. And this is a bit of a shortcut that I think it will help you right the ship in terms of your shame. Mm-hmm. When you go into a day, so when I go into a day parenting my kids, I have 5 teenagers now, and it is not fair of me to express to them my discontent that has nothing to do with them. It's just not mm-hmm. fair of me, and I refuse to do it. But if I went through the day pretending I had to be okay with that, I think I'd be TMS'd out to the hilt because it's just too much. So what I do is I walk through my day and allow my journal speak to run in the background. Okay, mm-hmm. So for example, if my teenage daughter has 3 friends sleep over and they're loud, and I know that she's respectful, by the way, and she's doing nothing wrong, but I'm just a curmudgeon who just wants to sit in silence and have everybody leave me alone, I will be kind and walk through my day like that. But in the background, I'm telling the really honest truth to myself. I'm not actually fully being what I look like. And it can seem on its face, this is why this is a shortcut, it can seem dishonest, but we also have to honor ourselves, Shannon. And your little girl, the one who's been dancing as fast as she could for her whole life to just deserve to be born into her family. I mean, think about the heaviness of that for a child, you know, needs to be acknowledged not just at the end of the day, but all day. And it's okay to be sitting with little kids. It doesn't mean you're going to mistreat them. It means you're going to be really generous and kind to yourself and honest with yourself in your moments, which might mean, you know, taking a break and going to the bathroom. And I know people who do this actually in offices where they're not working with kids, where they're working with adults who act like kids. And they like take a piece of paper or like a cocktail napkin into the bathroom and they do a quick journal speak inventory, just 10 things that just really made you feel like you wanted to lose your mind. List it out, flush it down the toilet, and go back to your work. Do things throughout the day. Don't feel like you need to hold your breath all day and then be left with the crap, the bag of rocks that you have to carry. I think that kind of it's just a technique, but do you feel that you do that at all, or do you really try to align with the Mary Poppins because that's who you need to be?
Oh, that's such a good question. I really feel like I put the two different personalities in different drawers. So I really, during the day, I have a full caseload. So it's, I wake up and I start and I'm in back-to-back sessions all my whole workday. And I have a little fear that if I, you know, make the list like you suggested or even think those thoughts, that it kind of sours my spirit, if that makes any sense, which is just, you know, something I told myself for no good reason, because I should definitely try and do that during the day, but I don't, because I'm worried that they'll be able to pick up on it or something like that.
Okay. So you don't have kids yet, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I'm just saying, because you can't be perfect and you will suffer the side effects of needing to be perfect for others until you realize there is no perfect, and then you will relax. I think what we're talking about now is the crux of every reason you hold on to your symptoms, because your life is motivated by fear.
Yeah. Yeah. That resonates for me. And I try and pay a lot of attention to that, because when I first heard you talking about that, I feel like my mind kind of shifted. Like, wow, that is so powerful. And the fact that you can be powered on fear and still get kind of far is such a bummer to me, because it made me realize, you know, like, it's such a bummer. Like, oh my God, I think everything that I've been doing has been from fear, really, up until super duper recently. So,
but you know what? The great news about that is, Shannon, there are no negative side effects once you stop. Like, you have still gotten as far as you've gotten. Nobody's going to take away your degrees or, like, you know, take away the joy you've given to children just because it was motivated by fear. It's okay. You know, Maya Angelou says, when we know better, we do better. That's the whole point. And so you have been doing wonderfully for all these other people. And it's okay to also prioritize yourself. And oftentimes, the real work is just forgiving yourself for having to be both, for having to be true to yourself and on for other people. Because at the end of the day, the other people barely notice. And I will tell you, as a parent of 5 children, in the kindest way, children are so self-centered, they barely even notice you unless you're disciplining them. They feel the warmth and the love of the container that you bring, but it doesn't have to be that pure. You can, as long as you're being kind and nice to them, you can allow space for that little kid inside yourself. Because I think one thing that you are maybe losing sight of in this need for perfection is that the person you're being unkind to, I have a good little thing that I just thought of. I want you to picture yourself. So let's say you're sitting with a bunch of 5-year-olds, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to conjure an image of yourself in kindergarten. pick a really lovely photo that you remember of yourself that, like, you just look so cute. And, you know, you kind of like that, looking at that picture of you. And I want you to mm-hmm. seat her at the table. Okay. So she's there. She's in your full caseload. She's invited at a different age to every one of your sessions. And I want you to seat her there, lovely and excited and full of life, just like all the other kids. And I want you to picture yourself being super kind and lovely to them and then telling her, shut up.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? We don't want to do that, do we?
No. No, that sounds – that got me good. That I would never do that to one of my littles, you know.
No.
So. Yeah, the idea of doing it to myself, that got me.
Because here's the thing, this is the thing that I want to wrap my arms around every person I meet that struggles to say, don't you see? We're so good. We're so lovely. Most of these people that suffer from anything like you and I suffer from are like the best people you'll want to know. The nicest, the kindest, the ones that want to lift the world, the ones where everything matters and you feel everything so deeply. But we are so quick to just shit on ourselves, mm-hmm. to say that it is just so much more important for other people to be okay than to invite ourselves into the picture. And a lot of times what's worked for me over the years is I have to literally invite myself into the picture and see how I'm treating that little beautiful little different than I'm treating all the others. Mm-hmm. It's really important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I feel like I've kind of, as an adult, forgotten who I was when I was little. And so I'm trying really hard to be an integrated adult now with that little kid still there. So I'm definitely working on that.
Now, how do you find the inner child work that I teach? Because I know it sounds like from your letter, you've kind of really taken in a lot of the stuff I've put out there. Have you done any work around the inner child stuff?
Yes. I tried to picture myself around 5 or 6. And so I did that guided meditation that you have in your chronic pain course, kind of picturing that little one. And then I actually went back not too long ago and pictured myself in college, because I feel like she needs some attention too. And that was the one that was the hardest for me. I felt really stuck. Like it was hard for me to look at her and talk to her.
Say more about that. That sounds important.
Yeah, well, it's hard to explain. It just feels like it holds a lot of pain that I have right now, because when I went off to college, I've always been a late bloomer and I've never wanted to be an adventurer. So leaving home was really, really hard and I didn't really want to do it, but I did it because I felt like I should do it. Just for whatever reason. And I went through college feeling like, you're in college, you should be being a dumb idiot and drinking and doing silly things. You know, why are you so sad all the time? You should be enjoying. This is, you know, everyone would tell me like, this is going to be the best time of your life. My parents met in college. And I just kind of went through it feeling like, am I missing something? Is this what they were talking about? Because I don't good. I don't feel that way. And so I had a huge amount of shame about not enjoying my time in college. And I felt like I wasn't getting the most out of it. And that was my fault. And so that time was really uncomfortable for me. It was really hard.
So let's take that motivation to go to college. And I want to really shed light for you on what it feels like to be motivated by fear and what the outcome is. Because first of all, I need you to know this. There is no shame on living a life motivated by fear before you realized that that wasn't the quote right thing for you. Because every single person does it. I watch it all the time. It is the rare person that has been just motivated by self-love their whole life. Like it's so there's no shame in this. And I did it definitely through my college years, 100%. But I want you to just, so taking the shame out of it, I want us to look at the cause and effect. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to leave home. You don't really want this for you. You look around at society. You look around at your fabulous family and all their degrees and all their success. You look at your parents who met in college and they loved college. And so you, totally motivated by fear, it sounds like, you say, well, I have to do this.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it was the wrong choice to go to college. I'm just saying then let's look at the results. So now you end up in college. You're looking around. These beautiful things that you wanted to happen to you are not happening to you because you are, your heart's not in it to, in the first place, because the fear was the motivation, and it's breeding more shame because now you're like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I feel good about this? This is what happens next. I feel good about it. And all these thoughts are just information. There's nothing bad about what happened. It's just what happened. And quite frankly, you're in a wonderful place now. And I'm really glad that you contacted me and that I found my way to you, because your healing is so teed up to just jump to the next level because you really are getting it about what's really happening for you. And the switch from fear to love, it's a muscle that needs building, but it's not as hard as you think. It's all about perspective. It's all about realizing why we do what we do. And the day you have with your little ones and the help that you give to them is probably going to look exactly the same, and you can have a completely different experience of it when we realize that little Shannon is also at the table, and realizing the balance of being able to be kind and generous to her does not steal from others. It's just looking at it through a lens of love. Can you see, just almost just see in the distance how you could get there with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I agree with you completely. I think that's where I'm getting stuck.
So whenever we're motivated by fear, the natural next question is, what would happen if we didn't do it? So right. I think we need to look kind of more deeply into what would happen if you weren't Pollyanna all day. Let's just go there, like, because we can't hide from the truth of what lurks in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think just on a really surface level, I feel scared that I would lose my job, because parents would be like, who's this bitch over here? Like, why am I letting her talk to my kid? She's awful. So I try really hard to have a good face forward and a positive face at work. And I worry that if I put my weapon down even a little bit, that something bad's going to happen. I don't know, like, my Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is gonna pop out and I'm gonna say something ignorant or stupid or offensive to somebody. I don't know, which is so silly when I say that, because I don't think I would ever do that, but I have this fear that if I'm not 100% reined in, that I would go the complete opposite way, if that makes any sense.
It makes total sense, but it makes no sense. So my next question is, has that ever happened?
No, never. Right. Oh, I mean, honey, I say things that I wish could just pop back in my mouth. I definitely am guilty of embarrassing myself and wishing that I didn't do that or didn't say that, but I've never said anything, you know, offensive or anything like that. I just don't think I would, but part of me somehow does think I would.
So here's the next lesson or activity or takeaway from this that I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to sit for a moment when you have a quiet moment, and I want you to envision this part of yourself that you're so terrified of. And if you want to do it a little bit here and try to shed light, if it comes to you, then I'm super here for it. But if it's too big of a thing and you want to do it later, that's good. But there's a part of you inside that you are scared of and that has never shown up. But you are holding on to this fear of her, because from what I know of you, which is 34 minutes on the phone and one small email, I don't even see the shadow of a person that had anything in her that could do something that would lead someone to say, I don't want that person with my child. Like, I don't even have a sense, and I don't think you do either. So I guess the question is for you, we have to look into who that person really is, because the shadow lingering there needs to be exposed for you to have real control and power over this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just remembering in your course, the art exercise where you draw your pain.
Yes.
And I'm thinking back to that picture, and I remember kind of closing my eyes and drawing. And then when I was looking at it, I was really surprised, and I drew a person on fire.
Wow.
And I feel like my skin is such a horribly perfect demonstration of this, because, you know, I'm red all over, you know, like, and it feels uncomfortable. It feels, you know, a little, burning and a little itchy and all of that. But, I worry that the person underneath is fire, you know, like destructive.
So, you know what, do you know what the answer is?
What?
You need to be the fire and really be it and see what happens. Now, spoiler alert, because I've seen this movie. Nothing's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to feel some big feelings and you're going to explore some parts of you, and you're going to feel, maybe you're going to cry, maybe you're going to scream. I mean, do it all privately. Nothing's going to happen except for the fact that you're going to get free. Because whatever you're scared of that's lurking under there needs to be invited way up. How does it feel, the thought to do that?
It makes me emotional, but it also feels important, because even when I'm, you know, acting like Mary Poppins and everything, there's a part of me that just feels like this is not true. This is not 100% true. Like, you're lying, you know, and it's always kind of there. Even in my sessions, I feel like, like, I'm not 100% showing up for these kids because I'm lying. And so even though this fiery person underneath feels really threatening and really scary, I also kind of want to talk to her because she's part of me, you know?
And yes.
It's making me really emotional. I'm so surprised, but but it's getting me, because I'm scared of her, but I would really like to meet her and talk to her.
I think that this is like everything, honey. This is everything, because she is so desperate to just be heard. And I kind of feel like she's really beautiful. I'm getting a sense that she's like part of your fiery spirit. I think we also have to change the lens a little. She's not bad. She's just curious. You don't know her. So you don't, so you're scared of her. But I will tell you, I'm a real energy person. Like, I get energy and I feel it like through the computer, you know? And I think she's awesome in there. So let me ask you, can we invite her? I mean, a little bit. Do you feel safe to just, what does she have to say? And don't be scared if it's negative. This is what I have to just kind of set the stage. If you recall, because, you know, you said you read my book and you devoured that book.
Yeah.
What got my back pain from 100% to 20% in the first really big explosive journal speak session was, I hate being a mother. It was the most ugly, inappropriate, unwelcome, horrifying, disgusting thing I could imagine saying. I was obsessed with motherhood since I was 10. I lived for my children, and to feel that ugliness start to creep up my chest and up my throat and out my mouth was terrifying and horrifying. And when I just said it, and I said it, and I said it, and I allowed all the attendant meanings to come through about my childhood and my parents, you know the trail. Most people know my story. If not, go. It's in the podcast. It's in the book. But all I'm saying is, that was my freedom, because she is with me all the time and she is so such an awesome partner because she's honest. So I can be there so purely and so beautifully with my kids and then say, God, this is so hard. I want to die. And we're all here together. I'm integrated. And that's why your skin is burning. Because there's this fire girl inside and she's so scary, but she's also awesome. So what I'm wondering, and you don't have to do it here, but I'm just inviting you, if we could ask her, what's really up? Do you have any idea what she'd have to say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm just feeling like she's so angry. Oh, sorry, I'm a mess. Oh my gosh. Edit.
No, this is perfect. This is what this is about, honey. This is, you're such a lovely, generous person to share your story because this is why we're here. We're all suffering. We're all just suffering. So let's suffer. Ask her, why are you so angry?
I think she's just so mad at me. Because I know that I've subjugated her, you know, my whole life. And so she's angry about all the choices that I've made. Like, why did it take you so long to do what you wanted to do? Why don't you tell your friends what you really think about them? What, you know, like, just why don't you listen to me? You know, I feel like she's just really angry. And she's, since I've been doing the journaling, I just feel really tapped into like the pain of the collective, you know?
Yeah.
Like with the riots and the political situation, it makes me so angry. And I don't know what to do about it. You know, like I can talk to her, but I don't know where to put all this anger because I just am so mad. I'm so fucking mad. I'm mad at myself and mad at the world. I'm just like, we could be doing so much better and I'm so sick of this shit.
Okay. All right. So here's the great answer to that question of I don't know where to put it. That collective that you're feeling so triggered by and so connected to, because we don't get triggered by anything unless we're connected to it.
Yeah.
It can also hold your anger. That collective doesn't just ask of you. It helps you. You are part of the collective. And so when you say, I don't know what to do with that anger, all it needs to do is speak. And then the steam valve is opened in your system. This is, we're getting down here for all of you guys listening to root TMS theory. You are a closed system right now because you're taking that anger, you're sublimating it. It's bubbling through your skin and then you despair about your skin and then we go in a circle.
Yeah.
What needs to happen is the steam valve needs to open. And the way that happens is, first of all, awareness. Awareness is always the first step. You're on your road to awareness and a deeper awareness is being born right now by you saying, I'm so fucking angry. I'm angry at you, Shannon. You're a disappointment to me. I'm angry at my parents for being so fucking perfect. I'm angry wherever, you know, like wherever. I'm angry at my friends for being whatever they are. And so you're feeling it. You're feeling it rise. Now, the tendency of a human being as they feel that rise is to do what?
To ignore it or push it away.
Right. That's not fun. That's not convenient. That doesn't help me be nice to children. It's going away. See ya. Right. Bye. You know? And so then, of course, what happens? It bubbles up under the skin again. And here we go. We're going for the ride. It's like a carousel. We're going around and around. So what I want to say is this is going to be a beautiful trip. You're going to take it and you're going to get on like a right whitewater raft and you're going to let it take you down the river because I promise you, I hope you trust me, it's not going to kill you. It's going to set you free, but we need to ask her to come to the table. So in our second proverbial table, first we have a sweet little 5-year-old Shannon at the table with the littles being treated as kindly as them, meaning you get your space to feel things during the day. On this other table, this grown-up table where kids are not invited, where it is you, bold and brave, Shannon as you are, you're going to invite her to come sit. You're going to take out your notebook or your computer, wherever you like to write, and you're going to say, tell me everything you think. Hold back nothing. I am ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just kind of having an epiphany as you're talking that I think that's everything. And I feel like the inner child work was beautiful. And I definitely feel like I got a lot of work out of it. But I think where it's at for me is the inner fire old lady, not the little kid.
Are we old in our mid-30s now, Shannon? You're killing me.
No, I just mean the fire person is over this shit. She sees the shit. She's over it.
Yes.
So I wonder if maybe that's why this is sticking around, because the healing is not with the little one. It's with the big one. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And sometimes we have to get there through the part of our awareness that feels comfortable to us. You know, you're a lovely person who works with children. So maybe our doorway into finding this fire woman was needing to be through the door of five-year-old Shannon, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I'm feeling it with you that this person is screaming. She's screaming like from behind the glass. You know, and like every once in a while you glance over and you see her with her like her face and her hands pressed against the glass, and you hear that kind of rumble of the way you would hear somebody behind thick glass, and then you're like, nope, 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 and you walk away. And what does that person do then?
Get louder.
More hysterical.
Yeah.
Why not, right? Isn't that the natural way that we feel when we're being ignored and discarded?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. This is making so much sense to me. I'm really pleasantly surprised that this is coming up, because I've been journaling since I think I first heard about you. I'm a big murderino, and I first heard about you on My Favorite Murder.
Stay sexy. Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered. It's the best. And Georgia was talking about you, and something in me was like, yes, listen to that. So I've been doing it since I think like September, I think is when I first started doing it. But I've been aware of Fire Girl. I'm just going to call her Fire Girl because I drew her, but I've never been able to really open her up to the point where I can hear what she's saying. Mm. You know, like she's always just been kind of white noise in my head.
Yes.
So this is really cool. This is awesome. Thank you so much. This is really helpful.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And you know what? It's not, I mean, yes, it's me. I'm here, but it's your willingness. You know, true readiness is everything. And you needed every bit of walking away from that fire girl every time you have to ready yourself for this moment to fall to your knees, because we all truly just need to fall to our knees to surrender and to say, okay, what do I need to hear? I'm not going to die. Let me hear it. And then we all have Fire Girl, by the way. She lives inside of every one of us, and we have our version of her or him or they or whatever. And we are all just waiting for our willingness to hear it little by slowly. And as it comes forth, we heal, because that's what freedom's all about. Not being scared to go anywhere, because we are okay, because you know who you are.
Yeah. Preach. Yes.
Preach.
Preach.
Well, listen, this has been so awesome. I think you know exactly what you need to do. Do you have any questions for me, Shannon?
I do. I have a logistic question. A lot of times I try and journal in the morning so that I'm ready for the day. But sometimes I can't meditate until after work, like after work or nighttime. Is that a problem? Do they have to be one after the other?
No. So essentially, as you know, since you took the Freedom from Chronic Pain course, Originally, when I wrote that course, I did not add the meditation as sort of a prescribed ending to the journal speak, because at the time I was really immersed in the thought that we just need to let these feelings have a steam valve and that's all it's going to take.
Yeah.
And then in my travels of, you know, teaching and speaking and running online communities, I heard so many people saying that they were raised in a very kind of shamey, guilty kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And when they started saying things like, I hate this person, I don't believe in this, I can't do this, I feel trapped. When they started saying things that they needed to say to open that steam valve, they felt horrible about themselves. And so I started to realize that you can't just kind of uncork that bottle for everyone and just let it stay uncorked. Now, if for me personally, I can. I was raised, I had plenty of my own adversity, but I was raised enough thinking that I was okay, like in terms of the eyes of society, the eyes of God, whatever you want to call it. I didn't feel that shameful. So when I'd say my journal speak, even if it's really ugly, I can or delete the document and move on with my day. Whereas some people kind of really need to pause right there and take that 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation to center themselves. So that's where the 30-minute practice was born, with the 20 minutes of journal speak followed by the 10 minutes of meditation, to ensure that people were kept safe, safe from their own judgment and their own terror over having to tell the truth. So I guess, Shannon, for you, it's just a self-assessment. If you feel like you can do your journal speak and then get up and have your day, then that's totally fine. But if you feel like it's really sticking with you that you need to sort of sit and center yourself, then maybe I would make time for the whole 30-minute session.
Okay.
How does that land for you? Where do you feel like you kind of fall in that?
Well, I think I've been able to identify the times when I really need to be, you know, calm and quiet and forgive myself for being such a dumpster fire. But lately, I've just been feeling like my journal speak is not getting to where I need it to be. And so, like, I don't feel the need to meditate right after, because I feel like lately it's been more like, dear diary, today I you know, and it's not really been scratching the surface in a healing way. So I haven't felt like I needed to meditate after, but I have a feeling good journal sessions are coming, so I'll be able to meditate after.
Yeah, and I think that really the best thing to do for yourself, especially if you tend toward judging yourself for not being perfect, which sounds like you might, is to know that you're not doing it wrong no matter how you're doing it. You know, this whole point is that we're coming back to ourselves here. We're showing up for ourselves here. And then the body gets to release the pain and the symptoms. And then we're just living a human life as best we can. So yeah, don't worry about it too much. Just do what you need. But don't kind of try to get an A in it, because that's not helpful.
Oh, that's so funny you said that. That's like a joke between my mom and I. Whenever we do anything, we always say, like, do I get an A? Did I do a good job? And it's like a knowing joke, but we both have that perfectionist sickness going on. That's so funny that you said that.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I've often said, wouldn't it just be easier if everything in life had a grading system so I could just get the A and then move on?
Right. And you know when you need improvement instead of not knowing. It's totally.
Humans. We're so annoying.
Yes, it's true.
All right. Well, listen, Shannon, I think you're so awesome. It's been so great to get to talk to you. Thank you for doing this really brave and hard work.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I have so many big feelings about this work and about you. I just want to thank you so much. I feel like this work has completely changed my life, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And please, once you do your work and get in touch with Fire Girl, email me and tell me, how she is and who she is. Cause I have a feeling there's a little bit of scared, but there's a lot of power and excitement and energy. I think she's going to become your friend. That's my prophecy. Let's see if it comes true.
Okay, I would love that. I'll let you know.
All right, honey. Well, thank you again. And thank you everybody out there for listening with us. And if you are enjoying the podcast, it really helps me if you go over to iTunes and rate and review it so people like Shannon can find the work. And until next time, this has been Real Time Heal with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you then.